Father, we just thank you for Shannon, for the shepherd, that you have provided us with. And Lord, I know that everything she speaks to us this morning about is going to be put in her heart by you, Lord. So Lord, I pray you just help her deliver that smoothly and precisely like you laid it on her heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. And I'm just going to. But good morning, everybody. Welcome to the 1st of December. Okay, so the yay. You know what I appreciate is I know that in about 21 days, it's going to start getting brighter again. Lighter all the time. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, we'll go out the door in the morning and you hit that 21 below and takes your breath away. But I discovered something this morning when I came in the door at the bottom of the church here, and that was I smelt spring and summer. You know when you put your laundry out on the line and it dries and you bring it in and it smells? I came in and I could smell that on me from the fresh crispness, and I realized my coat didn't have to stay outside for 2.5 hours. It took only a few minutes. So I just rejoiced in that. I thought, you know, Lord, because it's a good feeling, a good smell to hear that. So there were two brothers who loved baseball. I'm waiting to see some. I saw those eyes perk up. They loved baseball, and they were having a conversation, and they began to wonder, do you think we'll be playing any sports in heaven? So as they carried on their conversation, they talked to each other, and they made a promise. Whoever got to heaven first would somehow find a way to let the other one know whether they did or not. Well, as luck would have it, the older brother passed away about a week later. And on the night he was buried, he appeared at the foot of the bed of his younger brother. Is there baseball in heaven? Asked the younger brother. Well, the older brother said, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is there's baseball in heaven. That's great, the younger brother said, but what's the bad news? You're pitching on Saturday. Be careful what you hope for. Well, you know what? Depending on where you are in your life, it's going to decide whether that was good or not. Maybe that may be a little too soon for some of us to be, but some of us are, I'm ready to go anytime, Jesus. As believers, there is an excitement about entering our heavenly home. And we sing songs like, I can only imagine what that's going to be like. And all that anticipation of what's going to be like is a part of the hope that we have. And as we come to this first week of December, we're also starting the first week of Advent. And for those of you who weren't here for Sunday Morning Live, we kind of started it already looking at Advent. Advent was never really a part of our celebration here at the church. It was just, you know, that was a liturgical thing. Wendell got into that a little bit this morning. It's the people that, you know, churches that have this a routine and a schedule and a cycle that they do things on. And you know what? I can understand. I still remember, and I think I've shared this with you before. I worked for the Catholic School District in St. Albert for 10 years. And I remember, you see, I didn't become a believer until I was working there, and I'd only worked there about 8 months or something, and I gave my heart to the Lord, and, you know, things started looking different. And so, what is this Advent thing, I asked my coworker. And she says, oh, it's something we do at Christmas. Well, what does it mean? I don't know. We just do it, right? And so that is the issue, and that's the problem, is sometimes it just becomes a tradition without having any substance for us. That's one of my areas that I get a little concerned about when we're standing and doing the declaration every week, that it becomes just a tradition that we do and it lacks substance for you. Now I'm praying into it, but I hope, like again, bless Rebecca. Every week she emails it out to you folks. And if you don't have an email, then it's here at the back on a piece of paper. I'm just going to say a little something. If you get an email, don't pick up the paper. Read your email. Leave the paper for the people who don't actually have an opportunity to do that. But that's just an aside. Also, you know what she does? She puts it up on the overhead every week that runs before the service. So if you forgot to look at your email, you can watch it all come up here behind me. Anyhow, that's a little rabbit trail around. So we're looking at Advent. We started doing Advent when COVID came because we were trying to find things, what can draw us back to the focus of Jesus? What can draw us back to Christmas being about Christmas? I was kind of laughing when some of us were sharing the stories about, you know, while Dawn was sharing about Christmas has become something else. Elaine shared about, you know, Christmas is more about Black Friday than it is about celebrating Jesus. And I was watching a show last night, and I don't quite remember, but I thought it was interesting. There was a lady standing at the door of her boss in this movie, and they're talking about what we would call Christmas celebration, but they're not allowed to use that word anymore, so it's the holiday celebrations. And the co-worker says, well, it doesn't make sense. I don't go around, I don't break holiday celebration cookies. And I don't send out holiday celebration cards. And I don't go around singing holiday celebration songs or carols, you know, like this is, you know, the idea that we're taking Christmas, Christ out of Christmas, that we're removing him, that it's become a thing that we don't celebrate because it might offend somebody. I'm not a worried, because I'm not intending to offend. They are taking offense. So as we stand here, the first Sunday of Advent, I've been learning as I go that every week is a different aspect that we celebrate. Now, I did something this morning that's a little different. It's out of the ritual, and I lit the center candle. Not supposed to do that till Christmas Eve, because that's the Jesus candle, okay? And he's not born. And I don't want to mess up anybody's liturgy or say it was wrong. But for me, it's like, no, we're starting with him in the center. We're starting with the Jesus candle because it's all about Jesus, and we're keeping our focus the whole time about Jesus. So, again, I'm just saying that's why I chose to do it. Whoops, don't mess with the technology, Shannon. Don't clap and don't, yeah. Oh, yep, getting, that's good. I'm a couple of weeks ahead of Joy. But we're looking at hope this morning. We're starting with hope. When we look at, let me go here. I think I can move it ahead. I don't know, Rebecca, there it is, okay. So we're starting with hope. There's this wonderful word called hope that has come. Let's take a look at it. Let's go to the definition, maybe. So this is the definition. This is from the Cambridge Dictionary. Advent means waiting for and anticipating the fact, I added the underline and the boldness, of an event happening, an invitation being made, or a noble person arriving. You know, right now amongst us, some of us have been invited to go and join friends and family for Christmas. And some of us are going to be hosting friends and family for Christmas. And some of us might be spending a quiet celebration at home with just ourselves or a few people. Regardless, here's the thing. Christmas Day is going to happen. That's a fact. It is an event that is going to happen. The birth of Jesus that's already happened is going to be celebrated again. His first arrival has already happened. And you know what? We read about it, and it was already mentioned this morning by Wendell, it was Joyce, through all the scriptures of the Old Testament. I have a sheet here with 47 of them. I'm not going to read them all, and I'm not going to tell you where they're found, but they are the, if you need the sheet, I've got it. And also their fulfillment in the New Testament. It talks about that the Messiah would be born of a woman. The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. The Messiah would be born of a virgin that would come from the line of Abraham, the line of Isaac, and the line of Jacob, the God of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac and Jacob. He would come from the tribe of Judah. He was an heir to King David and the throne. He would be anointed and eternal. He would be called Emmanuel. And he would spend a season in Egypt. Because of him would become a massacre of children. There would be a messenger sent to prepare the way, a forerunner. And he would be rejected by his people. Again, we go on to many more. That's only the first 14. And there's more about his life than that. But you see, they were waiting on all the Old Testament saints were waiting on the coming of the Messiah. They had the word, but it was spread out over 2,000 years or so. But when he came, it was not as they anticipated. Hope has been spoken by these prophets. Hope is that longing in the heart for God, for his rescue. And it was the hope of the coming Messiah that had been promised, that would save them and us out of darkness, out of this dark mess we find ourselves and the world in. That is how, and this is not, knowing in our hearts that this is not how it should be. And we hope. But we do not hope as the world hopes. This Friday, one of the scriptures that I'm using this morning was spoken at Connie Warner Adamson's funeral. It's from 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." You see, the hope of this world is not, what they call hope is not hope at all. Our hope is beyond this. We know that when we lay a saint, a believer in Christ to rest in the ground, or whether we cremate or whatever, we still have hope. Our hearts grieve. We miss them. They're not here. They're not a part of what we're doing. But boy, our hearts don't have to stay in a grief that says this is the end and that's it. We know we will see them again one day. And soon, and very soon, we're going to see the King, yes. And so we don't grieve like the world does. We have a hope. You know, the world's understanding of hope is this. Be positive. Wishful thinking, optimistic, and all of this depends on you to have all of this. It depends on us, our ability to stay positive, to stay optimistic, to stay wishful. But we all know that that's just worldly hope, and we've all probably been there, because it depends on our strength and our abilities. And man, when we fall short, Ever been triple whammied? You know, they always say bad news comes in threes. Smack this way, smack that way, and then smack right backwards, right? Things come in our lives and they knock us off our pins. And if our hope is the way the world says hope happens, it's hard to stay positive, optimistic when all this is happening. But that's the way the world hopes. That's what the world calls hope. And again, it depends on our strength and abilities. And well, again, worldly hope sometimes flattens us out to the ground. That kind of hope is based on our intellect, on our psychology, again, which isn't hope at all. It takes our emotions. And we say, having hope, we have these optimistic emotions, excitement. Well, yeah, there is part of it, but that's not all of it. And that's not, and it's usually, I'm going to say, that kind of hope is based around our circumstances. Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes our circumstances don't make us feel great. Don't make us feel hopeful. I want to do a little illustration here. And I'm borrowing it from a pastor I was listening to online. I thought, hey, that's a great illustration. And I'm going to be honest here. I had a plan to go to the dollar store and do something different with it. But I thought, well, I forgot yesterday. And it was closed by, because it closes early on Saturdays, right? It's like, oh, darn, I forgot that. So here's two balloons. Perfectly the same. I copied and pasted. Same balloon twice. But the first balloon is different on the inside than the second balloon. The first balloon is full of air. And what's going to happen when it gets let go of? It's just going to fall. And that's like the hope of the world. What's inside of us? If we're just full of the hope, the way the world sees hope, it'll fall to the ground. Now, truthfully, we can keep trying to bump that balloon up and keep it up there. But eventually what happens? You get tired, your arms get sore, you get a little uncoordinated, you bump it, and we're running way over here and over there. And eventually it falls and it hits the ground. And that's that hope that depends on us. But what happens if that balloon is full of something different? It's full of helium and it gets let go of. And what happens? It goes up and up and up and up. Where did your eyes go when you see a balloon go up? We look up. You watch it and you keep watching it. And you see, that's what the godly hope we have does for us. It doesn't get our eyes looking down here on the ground and all our efforts. It looks up and focuses on God and the one who is faithful and the one who's done it all for us and the one who calls us. And our hope isn't about our strength and our ability. We don't have to do anything to keep it up there. We just look up and take our eyes from our own abilities and circumstances. You do not grieve like the rest of the world who has no hope. Your hope is in a different place. That second balloon full of helium, that second one full of something different than what the world has, takes your gaze upward. Takes your gaze to the faithful one. God's hope is not about positivity. It's not about being optimistic. Or even wishful thinking. So what and how is it different? First of all, it's greater, superior, more than all of that positivity, optimism, and wishful thinking. It's basically, I'm going to say this, let me use a intellectual, it's theology. But let's get to what it really is. It's about us understanding and knowing. Not just knowing, but knowing God. And it's in our hearts comes with knowing God is the assurance in our hearts of his faithfulness, his goodness, his peace, his presence, his guidance, and his provision, his promise. It is knowing that you are loved. Anybody remember a message last week, something about that? You're loved. And that love does something in our hearts when we know that he's for us and not against us. We hope against all hope because of who he is. So we're moving into the season of Advent, of waiting for, I think, and anticipating, I like this, the fact. I really liked the fact. I'm going to say it this way, the truth. We're waiting and anticipating the truth that is already here. The truth that we already have in Jesus. So hope is this. Hope is waiting and anticipating what is to come and what has been promised. So part of hope is the waiting. You see, some of the stuff we haven't seen yet, but it's a fact. It's going to happen. It's the truth. But sometimes it's hard in the waiting. Sometimes it's hard to wait. Sometimes it's hard to just know Papa God has a good plan for you and I in the midst of it all. I love this morning, and I'm going to, can I piggyback on your good news? Where their granddaughter, we prayed for their granddaughter Abby, who had a serious accident. God, where are you? What are you doing? But what did God do through that? He took this girl, he spoke to her out of this, and this morning she's being baptized. Right? What a hope. I mean, bless God, Joyce and Wendell are here. They want long to be there this morning. I'm hoping they're going to get to watch a video later and see it happen. But what a hope. God, where are you when we're looking at our circumstances? But when we turn and look to the faithful one, he will take all things and turn them to his good and his glory. Our good and his glory. And where else is it going to lead? Oh, it's exciting. That's where the excitement is. Our God, who is faithful. Waiting is part of our hope. Waiting in his faithfulness. Waiting in his good plans. Waiting for the good things that he has for us. And we sing a song, all my life he has been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Even when I didn't know God, believe God, even when I was his enemy, he was good and is good. And so I can wait for a good God to do things. Make sure you get the comma in the right place there. You'll catch it later. I can wait for a good God to bring into my life the things he is doing. I can choose to wait. You see, you can choose not to wait. You can choose to get all flustered and whatever and all down here with the balloon just full of hot air. It's no longer hot. Or I can choose to be filled with the helium, the new thing that lifts me higher and makes me look there. We're waiting in the facts, or we're waiting in the truth. Waiting in the promised Messiah, in the promised Messiah, because Jesus has come, and then we're waiting in all that that means to us. These are just a few things. So we're waiting in the fact that in Christ, you were given grace before the creation of the earth. Papa had a plan before the earth was even created. You are waiting in the fact that Jesus, in Jesus Christ, you were chosen by God before the creation of the earth. You're waiting in the fact that in Jesus Christ, you are loved by God with an inseparable love. Height, depth, width, nothing, rulers or principalities, or nothing can separate you from his love. In Christ Jesus, you were redeemed and forgiven for all your sins. I no longer have to be ashamed. What he's done is amazing. We're waiting in the fact that in Jesus you were justified before God, and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus has been imputed to you. Say this with me. I am. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if you don't believe me, just go 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Take a look at what he says there. 6, waiting in the fact that in Jesus Christ, you have become a new creation and a son of God. You know, none of this is new. But man, it's so good when we keep reminding each other of the finished work of Jesus, of what we have in Christ. This is what we are living in, waiting for, growing in. But it is all ours. It is a fact. Godly hope is birthed in us when our hearts recognize who we are as believers in Jesus, our position, and our standing. Because in all of that, we're able to wait. Wait in this hope. We wait in godly hope. Wait in the fact that he is good. And he wants to continually pour goodness into our lives. We wait in the fact that he is faithful. We wait in the fact that we are loved. We wait in the fact that we are new creations in Christ. And that we too will be raised from the dead. We wait in the fact that we have been adopted as his children. We wait in the fact that we have a place we belong. We wait in the fact that we have a heavenly home we're going to, and we have a place at the family dinner table. We wait in this godly hope that we have. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says this: "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." At this time of year, we celebrate Jesus' birth, but you know, we've also been birthed, reborn because of him. In our hearts, birth is hoped. Our hope is birthed, pardon me, because of him. And it's not a stagnant hope. It's not just feeling excitement, but a hope of expectancy that is greater and better and more than we could possibly dream or imagine. Worldly hope just can't compare to it. It is this marvelous assurance that we all have as believers in Jesus, that God has promised us because of him. We have hope. It's living. It's a living hope, and his name is Jesus, the one who has lifted us out of sin, lifted us out of darkness, and set us in the kingdom of light. John 1:9 says, "The true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world." In Matthew 4:16, it says this: "And the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned." Man, when we look at this world today, it seems pretty dark. Lots of the shadows of death. But we can look up and see that the light has been shone, and his name is Jesus. Advent, waiting for and anticipating the fact of an event happening. It has happened. His name is Jesus, and he was born, and we celebrate that and remember our Savior has come. It's an invitation being made. Whoops. And I want to speak that out this morning. You see, the invitation is out for all of us. And I can make the assumption that all of us have given our lives to Jesus, accepted that invitation, but I'm not going to. I'm going to put the invitation out there for anybody online as well. You see, he came and gave the invitation. All those who believe on Jesus, the invitation is there. The invitation is for all. He is light for all who will look up and see. You see, a great light is shining. And those living in the shadow of death and in the darkness, that light has dawned, and they could come out of the shadows. And if you're feeling like you're in the dark or in a dark place or in a place of death and despair and what's going on, come out and look up. His name is Jesus, the light of men, our living hope. You see, we don't have to live in the hopelessness of the way the world hopes. There is a living hope who changes our heart. I'm just going to move this forward, I think. Maybe. Oops. I'm not sure. It's out of sync again. Oh, okay. Rebecca, is the mouse off the... There we go. It's on. We have this living hope in us. And we have to remember what we have in us. Don't let it be full of hot air. It's full of the helium that takes us higher. The hope of him, Jesus, and what he has done. We're celebrating his birth, and we're celebrating with excitement because of what he's done. We have hope. And here's the other thing. He's going to return, and he's going to take his bride. And so we're looking up because the angels told the disciples, he's going to return to us, coming on the clouds the same way he left. He's coming back. So you better not be looking here. You better be looking there. Our hope, Jesus, the assurance of what you have and of what's to come. Amen? Why don't you stand with me this morning? And we're going to pray. Just do this because I always forget to do it later. There we go. Oh, Lord, we're excited not just because of Christmas. We're excited because of you. Thank you, Father, that you loved us so dearly that you sent your son. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved us so dearly you were willing to come. And thank you, Lord, that you lived the life you did, that you showed us the Father. And then you chose to die for our sins. You chose to die for our sickness and disease. And you carry our burdens on that cross for us and took them to hell and left them buried there. And so, Father, again, we give you joy and praise because of the resurrected Lord that came. And though we're celebrating Christmas, I'm still speaking Easter. Because it's because of Easter we can celebrate Christmas today. Father, again, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're seated at the right hand of the Father. And that we are now seated in you. Oh, my goodness. The hope we have. The hope we have. And so, Father, again, I ask that anybody here who has not made that decision to receive your son, Jesus, I pray by Holy Spirit you start working in their hearts. And if that's you this morning and you want to have someone pray with you, you can come ask me or you can ask those around you that might be able to or might be willing to pray with you to help you receive this new and living hope. And his name is Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And as we go into this season, may you continue, Jesus, to be the center of it all. And all of us said, amen. Amen.